watching grace, finding me thine own. Lord, now indeed I find my power and thine alone can change the leper's spots. Jesus paid it all. Oh, to Him alone. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all, to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
If you have your Bibles tonight, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Some very familiar passages. As a matter of fact, almost every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper, Brother Chris reads from this passage. The Apostle Paul is teaching the church at Corinth about the Lord's Supper. And so I want to just use this passage kind of as a jumping off point for just a very short little bit lesson tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, When ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." When you study the New Testament, you find out that the Lord has given the church two ordinances. The two ordinances of the New Testament church are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Someone has defined an ordinance this way: it's a Christian rite in which is an outward and a visible sign of an inward and invisible grace. Someone else defined an ordinance this way: it's a symbolic act of obedience and a public declaration of faith. When you are baptized, you only participate of that ordinance one time. There's only one time that you are baptized. And it is an outward show. It's an outward declaration that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that you have given your life to Him. And you're publicly acknowledging that your life belongs to Jesus and you are going to be a follower of Him. And like I said, you only can be scripturally baptized one time. But the Lord's Supper is different. You partake of the Lord's Supper throughout your Christian life. Now, we know that different churches observe the Lord's Supper different times. Some churches observe the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Many Baptist churches observe the Lord's Supper quarterly. Our church observes the Lord's Supper only a couple of times a year, and that's really kind of my personal conviction about observing the Lord's Supper. It ought to be special. It ought to be something that we take very serious when we observe the Lord's Supper. But Jesus leaves it to the leaders of the church in order to decide when the Lord's Supper ought to be taken. And so the church that observes it every Sunday is not wrong. The church that only observes the Lord's Supper every quarter, they're not wrong. And the church that observes the Lord's Supper only a couple of times a year, they're not wrong. The Bible says in our text, "As oft as ye do." And so He leaves it up to us to determine how often we observe the Lord's Supper. But why do we observe the Lord's Supper? Why do we meet on a Sunday night and have a different kind of service? There are many reasons, but I'd like to give you just five, and I'll do that right quickly. I know for you that normally come on Sunday night, you're thinking, oh, no. But I will do it right quickly. What do we do when we observe the Lord's Supper? Number one, we celebrate the life of Jesus. If you have come to a funeral service in our church, many times when I make the screens to remember those that have died, I will put a celebration of life. And those funeral services are times when we remember people that has passed away. We remember things that we did with them. We remember conversations that we had with them. It's just a time to celebrate the things that we have done. Tonight, when we come to this Lord's Supper, as the elements are being passed out, there's going to be a time of silence, and there's going to be a time when nothing is happening. And you know what? We need to remember those times that we've had with the Lord. I remember the day that I got saved. You often hear me talk about that. But the Lord brought a preacher all the way from Savannah, Georgia, to Brownwood, Texas, to the Heart of Texas Baptist Encampment. And on a Thursday night, sitting on those green hard benches, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God convicted me. And that night I gave my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I have never been the same. And I want to celebrate the Lord. I celebrate all of the things that He has done for me in my life. And so it's a time of celebration. The Apostle Paul would say this in Colossians chapter 1 in verse number 15. Who is the image of this invisible God? Talking about Jesus. He's the firstborn of every creature. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, that firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. We need to celebrate the Lord. The second thing that we need to do is we need to remember that we are to live with a purpose. We need to remember that we are to live with a purpose. When Jesus came to this earth, He knew exactly what He was going to do. He had a plan. The Bible says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He would say this, I have glorified thee, O Father, on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. How did he know he had finished the work? Because he had a plan. He had a purpose. He knew what he was going to accomplish. And he accomplished everything that he came to this earth to do. You have often heard this saying, if you plan to fail, you fail to plan. And you know what, as Christians, we're not just to live our life and just take it as it comes. No, we have a purpose. God's put you here for a purpose. God wants you to accomplish something in your life. In Matthew chapter number 5, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would say this, ye, talking about us, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then he says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our purpose, to let our light shine. And as we are partaking of the Lord's Supper, we need to remember Jesus came with a purpose and we need to live with a purpose. Number three, we need to remember what our salvation cost. We need to remember what our salvation cost. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Another place in the book of Isaiah said that his vestige was so marred that he was unrecognizable as a human. You see, it's easy. Salvation is easy. To call upon the Lord, to believe upon the Lord. But the price paid so that you could have salvation was great. And that's why we sing songs about the blood tonight. That's why we sing songs about he came to die. Because he came to pay for our sin debt. And we need to remember that price. Number four, we need to look forward to his return. He would say in 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 26, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. There's a day when the trumpet is going to sound. As Brother Chris talked about it just a little bit this morning, we're going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord, and we're going to spend all of eternity with the Lord. And while we're partaking of this Lord's Supper tonight, we need to think about that day, because it could be tonight. It might not be for another 100 years. I don't know when it's going to be. The Bible tells us that no man knoweth the hour nor the day. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming soon. As we partake of this Lord's Supper, we need to be reminded of that. And then the last one is this. It's a time of examination to see how we measure up. The Apostle Paul would talk about in this text that we are to examine ourselves. That we are to look at our lives. We live in a life that's merry. Many people don't take time to just be quiet. Almost always we have some kind of noise, we have something going on in the background. But I believe that the Bible teaches there is great validity in just being quiet and listening for God. The psalmist would say this, be still and know that I am God. As we are passing out the elements tonight, it will be quiet. It will be still. It will be kind of a somber time. But the Bible says that it's better to be in the house of mourning than to be in the house of laughter. You know why? Because when you get to thinking about yourself, you can't lie to yourself. You see, I can stand in this pulpit and I can lie to you. I can pull the wool over your face. I've been in church all my life. I know all of the sayings. But you know what? I can't lie to me because I know me. And during this time of the Lord's Supper, it is a time just to look at yourself and say, hey, am I serving the Lord as I should? Am I measuring up to the service of the Lord as I should? Someone said it this way. The Lord's Supper is a spiritual cleanser to flush the spiritual junk out of your system. Tony Evans shares this story, and I'm done. He says, before an NBA game, the team and the staff always eat a prepared meal. They have a spread laid out, and the team sits down, eats, and fellowships. This is the meal they eat together just before they go into battle and face the enemy. The pregame meal provides the nutritional value they need in order to wage war on the field and against folks who are trying to stop them. When you come to the Lord's table and you eat the bread and drink the cup, it is to give you the power you need to fight your spiritual enemy. The Lord's Supper is designed to help you enter into a world differently because you enter it with the power from on high.